Well, thanks all of you for coming back for the fourth of these leadership calls. The purpose of these calls are to assist you to really be more effective in every domain of leadership. And remember the first time we spoke about this topic on leadership, I described what I consider to be a leader. And that's someone who wants something so badly, whether it be in a family or a church or a community. You want something so badly, whether it be in your organization or your country or your city or your friendship group, no matter what kind of an organization or group it is, you want something so badly that you're willing to ask other people to also want it, and you're willing to ask people to spend time and energy to get it. So I think that includes many of you, and I'd like to have you look to see where are you a leader. And I really appreciate your commitment to becoming more effective as a leader in whatever domain you are, whether you're recognized in that domain as a leader or whether you're just a leader by virtue of your own intention. So thanks for being on this call. If it's the first one for many of you or for some of you, thanks for that. If it's the fourth one, I appreciate your sticking with this. I've really enjoyed the topics we covered so far. And if you haven't been on the calls, as Joanne mentioned, you can listen to them on iTunes. And the advantage of that is that you can pause it, you can rewind it, you can put it on your iPod or your any kind of a digital musical player and take it with you. I also really want to thank you for responding to the calls. I've gotten phone calls about them, lots of emails. I've heard your comments, your appreciations, and your suggestions for how to make them more effective. And I also have gotten your questions. I've incorporated those questions into these calls. And I'll also incorporate more of those questions into our training that starts next Sunday in about 10 days. So I know some of you react immediately on this call. We'll pause several times during this call to take your comments or questions. Others of you like to think about it or react later with an email, that's fine. Of course, some of you aren't listening to this live. You're listening to the recording. And for those of you, we still want to hear your comments and even your questions. Now, I know if you ask your questions, of course, live, I'll be able to respond to them right away or your comments. But I also will respond to your questions or comments if they're hours or days or even weeks from now. So please stay in touch with me. As Joanne mentioned, my email is Dave at Dave Ellis Leadership. I'm leading this call with both Bill and Joanne Bangs.
Yes, Dave, and thanks. I just want to review the purpose of our call tonight. This is Bill Rentz. The purpose of our call tonight and, of course, the training event is to assist you to improve your leadership by presenting our best ideas and providing an opportunity for you all to invent your own ideas and commit to improving your own leadership. Tonight, our call is on solving problems. Is that right? Let me see. Yes, solving problems.
Yeah.
We're also going to spend some time tonight handling some logistics for the workshop. We'll spend the last 15 minutes of this call specifically set that aside to handle some logistics, so please stay with us this evening. We got some important stuff to go over. And that's so that's where we're headed. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. And I recommend if you're not coming to the training this weekend, you could leave for those last 15 minutes. We're going to be talking about logistics that are pertinent to the people that are attending our training on June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Again, this is Joanne, and I'd like to talk about the format of these calls. Tonight, the call format is going to be just a little bit different from the first three, where we primarily had questions and answers. Today's call, Dave will present his ideas on how to solve problems and facilitate problem solving. And then he'll take your questions and comments. As always, we welcome your feedback. So, Dave, now it's time to talk about problems.
Yeah, thanks. I love to talk about problems, by the way. And I want to say a little bit about problems, and then I'll ask that you all do an exercise about them. because I actually think that problems have gotten a bad rap. I think that the word problem and the whole concept of having problems has gotten a bad reputation. And I ask that you consider that maybe there's nothing wrong with problems. In fact, I want to have you consider that problems are actually wonderful to have, that they're useful, they're valuable. The word problem comes from the Greek word probelein. Probelein. And pro means forward, and belein means to throw. So what a problem does is throw us forward. I just love that concept because, at least so far in my life, every problem that I've had has done just that. And I think if you look back on your problems, you'll see the same. But yet we still, as a culture, and many of us individually, operate as if there's something wrong with them. I think some people even minimize the joy of problems by mislabeling them or calling them something else, like issues or challenges or opportunities. Now, I don't mind if you call your problems issues, because they are, and they're challenges and they're opportunities, but call them that not to avoid the word problem, because the problem throws us forward. Now, as a leader, what I recommend is that you find even bigger problems, that you not only embrace the ones you've got, the personal ones that you've got, the professional ones that you've got. I recommend that you embrace the problems that you have in your leadership, which includes every area of your life. But in addition to embracing the ones you have, I recommend you go find bigger ones. Because many of the problems that you now deal with, I claim, are too small for you. They're, you're worthy of more. You're worthy of better. You're capable of more. You are so creative and loving and intelligent and resourceful and energetic that you can do way more than you're doing now. I don't mean like active. I don't mean that you can be busier. For some of you, one of your problems is you're too busy, so I don't mean that, but I mean that you can tackle bigger problems, that you can solve bigger problems, that you can love and wrestle with in a really enjoyable way with something that is grander than you're now doing, and I claim that's what leaders do. They go out and look for problems. When they find them, they celebrate them, and then they take them on, and they embrace the opportunity to be thrown forward. Now, you may not agree with that concept, of course, but that's my idea, and I'll listen to you in a few minutes. But first of all, I want you to do an exercise so that rather than just my talking about this concept, that you practice it for a minute. So this is a two-part exercise. Both parts involve writing, and the second part I'll ask you to some of you to speak what you've written. But in the beginning here, you don't have to speak what you've written, because what I want you to write about are your biggest problems. And I know you don't know each other well enough to share your biggest problems, but what I'd like to do is have you write them. So I'm going to be quiet for 45 seconds. Now, some of you may not think 45 seconds is very long, but when you're thinking about your problems, it could seem like an eternity. What I'd like you to do in this 45 seconds is write down, and please do this in writing, because this is a two-part exercise. The second part won't work very well if you don't do the first part in writing. So in writing, during the next 45 seconds, I'd like you to write down some of the most serious problems that you're dealing with right now. As a leader, as an individual, your personal problems, your professional problems, because I believe that there is no such thing as just a leadership problem. If you are a leader, I already believe that you all are, because you want something so badly that you're willing to ask others to want it and to help get it. So given that you're a leader, I claim that every problem that you're experiencing is a leadership problem. Whether it's in the group you lead or whether it's in a different group that you're not, haven't taken on a leadership role, or whether it's even in your individual life where you may think, well, that doesn't affect my leadership. I'm sure it does. So in the next 45 seconds, please make a list. And I know some of you have already started this list in your head. I'd be quiet, you write it on the paper, of what are your biggest problems? What are your biggest leadership problems? Please write. Now, you might notice your mood. And if your mood went down, welcome to the human race. And if your mood went up as you wrote about those, welcome to the future of leadership as I see it. Because that's where I'm recommending you take yourself. That when you get into a situation where you start to focus on your problems, you get excited, you get thrilled, you get motivated, you get inspired. You get into action, you get into creativity, and you just sit on the edge of your chair, or if you're standing up like I am, you stand up a little taller and you say, yay, look at this. This is what I get to do. And if they seem like they're really big problems, then you celebrate even more, because what you're saying is, wow, I get these really big challenges, these really big opportunities. I get these really big places where I can contribute and lead. Because the people that don't have those don't have the option to contribute and lead. But again, if you got a little mood went down, well, then know that that's maybe just a problem that, like all these others, you can solve, and pretty soon mood can go up. Well, here's the second part of the exercise. What I'd like you to do is write about two or three reasons why you are glad you have each of those problems that you just wrote about. Now, I realize that most of you could write very quickly why you're glad if you solve them, why you'd be happy if you didn't have them. But I'm asking you to shift things 180 degrees and start writing about the reasons that you could be or even are glad that you have those problems. So I'll be quiet again. Now this time I'm going to be quiet for 75 seconds. That's a long time, because remember, your job in the next 75 seconds is to write about the reasons you're glad you have each of those problems that you just listed. Now, if you're listening to this on a recording, make sure you do this exercise, because it's what sets up all the other strategies that I'm coming up with soon. All right, I'll be quiet for 75 seconds. Please write. All right. Now I'd like to hear from a few of you, so this is the time for you to raise your hand. And Bill and Joanne and I are looking at our list of all the phone numbers on the screen, and we're looking at the list of everybody that registered for the call. And what you do is you hit star 61. Now, when you raise your hand, I don't want you to tell us about your problems. I just want you to tell us about one of the or two of the reasons you're glad you have a particular problem. And please tell us that, even though you don't tell us your problem. So please hit star 61 on your phone, and we will call on you. First person we're going to have is somebody that's calling from the Bay Area 415 number. And as soon as you're off mute, go ahead and speak.
This is Pam. I realized three things. First of all, that I would be a stronger person and gain confidence because I would have mastery rather than just luck, because I would have earned whatever those advantages are or those improvements are. I would have earned them. Have compassion for others because I would have already been there. And also be using my energy to be vital and focused rather than just comfortable.
Oh, great, Pam. I love these. So you get to, with the advantage of a problem, because I think these advantages you can, most of you can consider to be yours too, is that you're actually using your energy to do good in the world. You're using your energy for something that's vital and important. And when you have a problem that you're working on, you have compassion for other people that solve it. And when you have a problem and solve it, then you really feel kind of like you've earned your way. You've earned the solution. And you're stronger for it, and you've gained mastery. Wow, those are four great reasons, Pam. Thanks a lot.
Right here.
Well, we have a question from Andrea. Go ahead, Andrea. Please keep your questions or comments under half a minute. Oops. Try again, Andrea. For some reason, the thing didn't take you off mute there.
What I did was I had things to contribute about why I'm glad I had problems. I don't have a question.
No, that's right. That's what we're looking for. Bill just misspoke.
Okay.
That's exactly what we're after, Andrea.
All right. So I'm glad I care about love. I'm glad I have an opportunity to better my situation. I'm glad I don't feel stuck. I'm glad I feel motivated to change. I'm glad I will get to see my progress in quantifiable ways. And I'm glad I feel worthy of giving my best.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Now, again, when you listen to Andrea, as you did when you listened to Pam, please look to see if you also can be glad because you're not stuck. You're glad because you get better. You're glad because you can see change and you can see progress. So those are all wonderful reasons. And another from area code 360. Go ahead. I think this is might be Rick and Grassi or David Pippert. Oh no, it's Jerry. The Jerry 360. Jerry, I think you're off mute.
360. This is Jackie.
Oh, Jackie. So many people
Hi.
From area code 360. Good to hear from you, Jackie. Look forward to seeing
Hi.
You soon.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Hey, I'm
without
really...
so many of the problems, what are some of the
right.
benefits
I'm gonna
of it?
Tell you. I just got that, you know, having a problem would be, I said, I am privileged to be able to pass on a sense of wonder and possibility to those who come after me because I have these problems and my attitude toward them would be one of, wow, look at all the possibilities.
Yes. Great. Thanks, Jackie.
That's...
Got a question from Ella.
Hi, Dave. So my one of the things that strikes me is just being grateful for creating community, because there's other people that share this problem, and it's bringing us together in a way that we would have never embraced before.
Yes. Yeah.
Great.
I think that's what leaders do.
Phil Zilke, go ahead.
Yes. You know, I'm really enjoying the problems because I have a real clarity about what I want, and wanting to solve it really helps me live in my desire, and that's where my juice comes from. So,
yeah, thanks, Bill.
Enjoy that.
Yeah. And as you know, I mean, that's where I think that leadership comes from, is your desire. That's where your inspiration, your juice comes from, and that's, I think, the problems improve that. All right. Well, I know a few more of you have your hand up. Thank you very much for doing that. I'm going to clear your hands at this point, though, because now I want to go to the next step of this call. I realize that on the last call, I presented 24 ideas for how to reach financial independence in an organization or in an individual. And I did those very quickly. Now I'm going to do these quickly too, but I want to make sure that I at least give you the overview, because we're going to spend, as I mentioned, part of this call talking about logistics. So here are the ideas that I have for once you've got the problem, what do you do to actually begin to solve it? And the first thing I recommend is you describe the problem very clearly. You examine it in great detail. And can you hear me? Something happened.
Yep.
On my phone. It said my phone was muted.
Nope, we hear you loud and clear, Dave. You didn't go away.
Okay, good.
Now your phone now something just happened and you're not speaking.
I apologize for the technical problems there. First, and of course, I'm glad that I have them, because now I get to learn more about technical problems. here are my 18 favorite problem-solving methods. As I said, the first is to describe the problem very clearly. Examine it in detail. Tell the truth about it. Stop resisting or avoiding it in any way. Really embrace it. Now, it's what we were just talking about. Celebrate it, but celebrate it in detail. And write about it. Don't just think about it, but write about it and examine it. And look at it in every part of it, so that you notice that there's nothing you're resisting or fighting. There's nothing that you're trying to throw away or avoid about that problem. Number two, talk about it. Confess it. This is like the idea that I presented on our last call with regard to financial independence, when I remember one of the callers said, "Are you crazy to suggest such a thing?" And of course, who knows, but it really was an authentic suggestion, which is that you talk about your money. You confess everything about your money. In this case, I'm recommending whatever the problem is, you confess it. Now, of course, you don't confess it to everybody, but you do to several. And particularly when you're in a leadership position, you don't try to hide the problems of the organization or of you as an individual from the people that you're leading. Now, I realize that that's very counter to a lot of leadership techniques that say, well, you've got to pretend you've got it in order, that you've got to show your best side, that you, don't let them see you sweat. Isn't that one of the great leadership tools? Well, I don't think so. I say, let them see you sweat. If you're sweating, talk about the problem. Number third, detach from it. Practice the disassociation strategy. Really, it's a distress management technique, like we talked about on the second call, which is you no longer are attached to or equated with the problem. You don't take it personally. The reason for this is because it's a whole lot easier to solve something when you don't have that tension. when you don't have the tension of worrying that if you don't solve it, the whole world will fall apart. A fourth strategy is to describe life in detail when the problem is solved, so that you actually imagine yourself in the future with the problem solved or the goal achieved. With whatever problem you're working on in your organization or in your group you're leading, you describe to yourself and to the group, you have the group visualize and imagine what it's going to be like when this is no longer the problem. If the problem's money, what is it going to be like when we've got plenty of it? If the problem's antagonism within the group and a bad attitude, you describe what it's going to be like when that's gone. If the problem is some kind of a health problem within the organization or in the group you're leading, you describe what it's going to be like when you're all very healthy. My fifth suggestion is to pretend that you created the problem. Now, this is a tough one, but I'm serious about it because I think it's so powerful when you say, wow, what if I created this? And for a while, you make a list of what you did to create it or what you didn't do to create it, because sometimes the way that problem got manifested in your group or in yourself or in your organization, in your family, or your church, or your community, the way it got manifested is because you did not take action, or because you took action that helped create it. So that's why you pretend you created it, make a list of what you did or didn't do to create it, and voila, what you've got is a list of possible solutions. And that brings us to the sixth idea, which is, start off when you begin creating solutions. Now, you notice I'm to idea six, and we've just started to create solutions. We haven't implemented anything yet, because I think we want to wait quite a while here before we implement. But at this point, you create, first of all, wild and crazy solutions. Do not start by creating good solutions. Start with a brainstorm. Start with the intention of thinking what you've never thought of delving deep into your subconscious, into your deepest knowing, and generating a whole lot of wild and crazy ideas. So I just want to remind you of the rules of brainstorming. And after I remind you of these rules, I want to hear from a couple of you about these first few ideas, or even about the first idea of embracing it, and then I'll present the next 12 ideas. But before I open it up for questions, I want to remind you of the rules of brainstorming. Quantity, not quality. And take any idea, the wild and crazy ones, but take the good ones too. Write them all down. Time it. Make sure that this brainstorm has a limited amount of time, because you will actually think more often wild and crazy and new and innovative ideas if you've got a little time pressure. No negative evaluation, particularly self-evaluation. So no matter what idea comes up, you just say either nothing or you say great idea. Now, don't say great idea if you think it's a terrible idea, but for sure don't say, and as often as you can, don't think terrible idea. Know that the wilder the better, particularly in brainstorming, and piggybacking works, so you build on the ideas of others. Now, before I present the next 12 strategies that we'll be working on in the workshop, I want to hear from a couple of you. So, again, please raise your hand electronically. You do that by hitting *61. And just want to hear from a couple of you, because you know how these ideas are falling on your ears. I'll give you 12 more. So the price for getting the next 12 ideas is to say something about the first six. All right, there we go. We got somebody from area code 202, and you're on.
I think it's Diane.
Those ideas are fantastic. They're very good. I think they would be so much more fun. Yeah, that's excellent, excellent. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Diane. That's good.
Really great. Really great. I love the one that you pretend that you created it. That was so good.
About which one?
The one that number five, pretend that you created it, that really gets to our ego. I love that one. What you did not do or did, either way, you know, that's so good.
That's right. And thank you, Diane. I love how you say that because it gets to our ego and it gets our ego out of the way. That helps us detach and not take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
Then Shirley Martin, go ahead.
I just want to say that for me, it opened things up and got me from being stuck in a problem to say, wait a minute, I'm starting at the wrong place. And instead of looking for solutions, it's like start at the beginning and go back and celebrate it. So for me, it just opened things up and got me a different place to start, which then I think it lets me get out of being stuck. So they're great.
Thanks.
The next caller has a comment or questions from South Dakota, 721 number.
Hi, it's Pam. I totally got excited about number two, about confessing the problem, because I started thinking of all the really incredibly bright people in my life. And then if I start confessing up to the problem, that more ideas, even than the ones I can think of, might be generated by that.
Yes, absolutely, Diane, Pam. And I want to skip to idea number nine, and then I'm going to come back, because idea number nine is once you confess that problem and talk about it and let your friends and family and the other people in your organization and other people that you want to lead know about the problem of the organization or the group or yourself, then you can ask them for possible solutions. Now, when you ask people for possible solutions, I ask that you make sure that you don't ask them for advice. And the difference is that advice is when somebody's attached to their solution. It's when they're campaigning for you to take their solution. It's when they really want you to implement their solution. Now, you don't want that, but you do want their possibilities. You want their what they think you might be able to do so that you can put these along with the wild and crazy solutions that you came up with. Then my next idea is that you take these wild and crazy solutions and you take the solutions that other people have done and you modify them to be workable for you. So you take wild and crazy solutions that you've come up with or your group has, you come up with ideas that other people have brought in, and you then start to modify those to be something that looks workable for you. Then the next idea is you also go out and just get general solutions. Many of you know that I've made my whole life about writing general solutions. That's what the success strategies in Falling Awake are. That's what the power processes in Human Being are. The power processes in Becoming a Master Student. All these are general solutions. I'm working on a new book on leadership. And what they're going to be called in that new book are practices. What are the practices that leaders can take into all problems and use as general solutions? So the point is that you modify these wild and crazy, you modify the general solutions, you modify the advice or the ideas, at least from others, into workable solutions. And then, next suggestion is that you persist. And you do this until you have at least 20 workable solutions. Now, I know that a lot of people stop at about three because they come up with a really good solution. They say, well, I'm not going to keep going. I got a really good solution here. I'm going to implement it. I say, no, don't implement it yet. Wait until you've got at least 20 great solutions. And then implement. Now, this really requires getting past what we might call learned resignation or any kind of resignation. Because, you know, you're not there to be resigned. You're there to implement. Once and only once you've come up with 20 solutions. Now, then at that point, strategy number 11, I think if you're not too important, you number all these, but is you evaluate all of them. But don't evaluate until you get to 20. And then, of course, at that point, you're going to pick your one or two best solutions and implement them. So then, finally, I'm at number 12. I'm at strategy number 12 about how to solve a problem in your group or in yourself. And only now, strategy number 12, am I recommending that you take action. You take action and you monitor the results. Because strategy number 13 is give up being right. Don't get attached to your solution. So many people that I see, they come up with one or two solutions, they then get one, and then they start to believe in it. They start to say, oh, here, I got the solution. This is a great solution. And so many of us, we'd rather be right that we've got the great solution than to have our problem solved. I know I do that. I walk around thinking, well, this should work. It's worked before. I know it ought to work. It better work. I really want it to work. But when I look, it's not working. It's like Stan's expression. Stan has been my co-author for years, and he's helping me co-author again this new book on leadership. And one of his favorite expressions is, if the horse is dead, dismount. And so I just want to take that same philosophy into problem solving. If the solution is dead, dismount, give it up. And that's one of the reasons why you come up with 20 great solutions before implementing any of them, so that you have the freedom, the flexibility, the confidence to be able to jump back and know you've got another solution there. It's a whole lot easier to let go of a solution when you don't have one where you feel like it's the only one. All right, next idea. I've got five more, and then we're going to be done. Notice your expectations and let them go. So often we have an expectation of how a problem's going to be solved. Well, it's almost never solved that way. So be aware of what you're expecting on how to solve the problem. Let that drift away. Next idea, avoid why. Avoid asking, why did this happen? Particularly, why did this happen to us? And particularly avoid, why did this happen to me? It's just being way too personal. It's taking the problem personally. And it's probably not. But even if it is personal, I don't think you'll ever really figure out why it happened to you. I don't think you'll figure out why it happened to the group. You may come up with some reasons. I think more often than not, there'll be false reasons. So I'm recommending you avoid asking why. Also, I recommend that you replace the word or with the word and. So oftentimes, problems are stuck because we're looking at something or something else. We have to pick A or B. We have to pick X or Y. We have to go left or right. We have to vote this way or that. And I think seldom are important problems held in place with that kind of duality. What I meant to just say is I think mostly problems are held in place with that kind of duality. And the way the problems are solved is by bringing that duality into commonality. Next is surrender. Now, of course, this is suggestion number 17. I don't recommend you surrender too early, because I recommend persistence. Persistence in coming up with at least 20 solutions. Persistence in implementing almost all of them. Persistence in getting ideas from lots of people. Persistence in being self-responsible. But eventually, what happens if you can't solve it is you surrender. Now, it doesn't mean that you surrender that it'll never be solved, but rather what it means is that you surrender because you're waiting for the answer. You're waiting for the solution. You're waiting for something to occur that you have not been able to yet figure out. My last idea, and actually this is one of my favorite, I use it all the time, is if you've got a problem, solve it for somebody else. When I had a problem being a step-parent and a parent, I taught parenting classes. When I notice that I'm getting too stressful, I like to teach people how to relax. If I've got some health problem, I'm going to go out and teach health, or at least help somebody improve their health. I think that it's so much easier to solve a problem for another That's why I recommend this whole concept of sometimes just imagining yourself as another. Have a conversation with yourself. We talked about this on one of the other calls, this gestalt conversation where you say, well, to an empty chair, I'm stuck. What's the solution? And then you take your body, sit in that empty chair, and see what you say. Your brilliance will astound you.
Dave, thanks so much. Before you end this portion of the call, I just wanted to once again remind people that Bill and I will be available after the call at the top of the hour. If you have any questions about the workshop, or if you want to enroll anyone to come with you at this last minute, registration is open till noon on the 27th, and we have a few scholarships for influential leaders, last-minute people that could not attend otherwise unless they could have a scholarship. And I just want to give everyone my phone number and then turn it back over to you. My number is 605-390-2275, and I'll hang around till about a half hour after the call, and Bill will also be available. Bill,
and my number?
Number,
thanks, Joanne. My number is 605-390-2343.
Thanks, Joanne and Bill, and thank you all for being on the call. I know I left out one participation. I would love to have heard what you thought of those last 12 ideas. Please email me. But I do have a lot that I want to go through now for the people that are going to come to our June training. So if you are going to be at the June training, or if you think you might enroll in the next few days, please stay on for the next 15 minutes. Maybe a few of you are on this call and you're thinking, well, I'm not sure I'm going to come to the training. I might come to it. Well, if you think you might, stay on this call. Otherwise, I want to thank all of the rest of you for being on these calls. I'm going to start another series of leadership telecourses on June 30th. I'll send you all an email about those to see if you want to participate. This next series of telecourses on leadership is going to focus on leaders visioning, because that's what I think leaders do best and most importantly. They vision the future. It's going to focus on planning. Once you get that vision, how do you convert it to a plan? It's going to focus on work-life balance, and also bringing coaching into leadership. So those are the four topics that are going to be the focus of the next four telecourses. They'll start June 30th. I'll send you an email and let you know more. Again, thank you. And those of you who aren't going to be at the training or think you might not, I say goodbye to you for now, and we'll talk to you again soon. Now, those of you who are still on the call, you're either planning to be at the workshop, training, June 1, 2, or 3, or you're thinking about it. And if you're thinking about it and you got specific questions about the training, you can talk to Jill or Joanne or Bill after this call. But those of you who are going to be there, I really want to speak to you. And I know a few of you who are going to be there are listening to this on a recording, and I'm about to give you a whole lot of information. And this might take about 15 minutes, or we might go a couple minutes after the top of the hour. But I really want you to be prepared, and that's why I'm doing this call. First of all, I want to remind you the purpose of the training. And it's for you to dramatically transform your ability as a leader to deal with money and stress and problems, your professional and your personal life. So we're going to focus on money, stress, and problems as leaders, both personally and professionally. And specifically, I'll assist you to develop and implement strategies and ideas, values, and habits that will dramatically and permanently improve your ability to handle money, manage stress, and assist you and others to solve problems. But mostly, this is going to be a co-invented workshop. And I've got all these ideas. I've presented the ideas to you. But what we're going to do in our time together is not just have a presentation. It's going to be, we're going to talk about them. We're going to implement them. We're going to co-invent around them. So in preparation for that, I've asked you to do assignments. Please do those assignments. I'm hoping most of you have completed them by now. If you haven't, please complete them soon, within the next few days. Those assignments are just such an important and integral part of the workshop, the training. Part of those assignments are to listen to these conference calls. Of course, you're listening to this one or you're participating in it, but make sure you've also listened to the first three. I'm going to assume that you've already gotten those ideas. I'll talk a little bit more about them, but basically I'm going to assume that you've heard those. Now, just a little logistical information here. First of all, the training is going to be audio taped. But please don't worry, it's not going to be a product. We're not going to sell the tape. The reason I'm audio taping it is so I can transcribe parts of what I say to be used in my next book on leadership. Now, nothing you say will be published except for questions that you ask. And they won't be connected to you by name. So anything you share, any problems that you express, none of that will be published. And it will only be heard by the person transcribing the tape. And she's, of course, sworn to confidentiality, and I trust her explicitly. She knows more about me than most of you, and she keeps it all confidential, and she's great about it. Plus, during the training, anytime you want, if you feel uncomfortable, you can ask for the tape to be turned off. Second thing I wanted you to do is to email me if you don't want your name and address on the participant list. Otherwise, we're just going to produce a participant list and you'll all be on it. The hours of the training are different than the workshops that some of you have attended in the past. We are still going to start at 10 o'clock on Sunday, so please be there by 9 o'clock to register, or at least by 9:30. There won't be any breakfast that morning, but we will start at 10. We'll have lunch together, and then we will end by 6. That's a half an hour earlier than we have before. And that night, you'll have dinner with other participants on your own at local restaurants. So please be sure to make reservations for Saturday and Sunday and Monday night, particularly Saturday night. I'll send you a restaurant list tomorrow and a restaurant map. And I encourage you, it's very important to eat with other people so you can continue the training during the evening meal. And on Monday, we'll have breakfast together from 8:15 to 9. Then we'll start at 9 o'clock. We'll have lunch together, and we'll end at 6 o'clock. On Tuesday, again, we'll have breakfast together and lunch together, and we'll start at 9, and we'll end at 5. But the days are just a little shorter than those of you who have been there in the past. Still asking you, though, to make sure, and I'm asking all of you that are new, to make sure that you don't have any distractions between Sunday at 10 and Tuesday at 5 o'clock. The reason for that is I really want you to put your time and your attention and your focus on leadership, on how you can be more effective as a leader. So please don't bring work. Please don't bring exhaustion. A lot of times people come exhausted. For the last many years, I asked people, how could you have gotten more value from the workshop? And the number one thing that people say is they could have come more rested. By the way, the number two thing people say is they could have come more prepared in terms of their assignments. The other distraction I ask that you eliminate is please don't be intoxicated. Please don't, I know it's wine country. Of course, you can have a glass of wine, but I'm just asking you not to be distracted by intoxication. And the reason I mention this is because I've been to a lot of workshops and trainings and conferences in my past, and people are often distracted that way. We are going to have yoga available again on Monday and Tuesday mornings. I'll tell you more about that. Also, massages are available on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I'll send you an email describing the options about massage. I'll send that to you tomorrow and the price. But I also I want to give you a phone number now because some of you really would love to have a massage. I think it's a great thing for a leader to do one for oneself, is to relax and particularly given that this whole training is about distress management and how to be more calm and collected and cool and grounded no matter what the circumstances. So Here's the number, 707-944-0553. 707-944-0553. And you can reserve a massage. If you're driving and you are willing to give somebody a ride, please go to DaveEllisLeadership.com/rideshare. Again, it's DaveEllisLeadership.com/rideshare. And just say that you're willing to give somebody a ride or that you're wanting to find a ride. Similarly, if you've got a room to share, we've got a room sharing bulletin board. That's at DaveEllis.com/roomshare. Just a few more announcements. One is the weather's scheduled to be just beautiful. The long-term forecast is for highs in the low 80s and lows in the low 50s. So it's going to be nice and cool at night for sleeping and nice and warm during the day. So the dress code for the workshop is business casual, and many people are quite casual. That's fine with me. So that's what to wear, and what not to wear is scents. Please be aware that many people are allergic to strong-smelling perfume or aftershave or deodorant. Please be careful not to wear scents. But you could wear a swimsuit in the evening or the morning because there's a great saltwater pool there. There's also a hot tub and a steam room. It's a way to relax. It's a way to get to know people. You can use that, of course, on Sunday or on Tuesday. You can use it in the evenings. It'll be plenty of time for you to relax in that way. If you are coming on Sunday, please leave your luggage in your car or you can bring it to the training room. It's just that you can't check into your room until our dinner break. There's just not a time to do that. Well, that's the logistics. I want to now open it up for any questions that you have, and then we'll complete the call. So please, *61, if you've got any questions about the training, if you've got any questions about logistics, if you have any questions about the assignments, love to hear from you. Sure looking forward to seeing you. And again, if you are not on this call live, but you're listening to the recording, well, please email your questions or call Joanne or Bill for your questions. We want you to be very well prepared. Got one question. I think it might be from Diane. Go ahead.
Could you repeat what place is it? I mean, the city.
Oh yeah, Diane. Thanks. It's Sonoma, California. Sonoma, California is just north of San Francisco. It's an hour and 15 minutes from the San Francisco airport. Also from the Oakland airport or from the Sacramento airport. So part of why we selected that city is it's, first of all, it's beautiful. It's right in the heart of wine country. It's just an amazing place to go. And it's so close to these major airports. So that was one of the reasons we picked it. Any other comments or questions before we say goodbye for the night? Well, thank you, folks. Thanks for joining the calls. Thanks for coming to the workshop. And I'll see most of you Sunday morning. And I look forward to it. Good night.
Good night.